Yeah, it was a great game. I mean, it really was, and I think everybody was going in. I mean, we made such a big deal about it on our show on NFL Network that Patrick Mahomes, first time in an indoor stadium, he's going to throw for 600 yards, you know, and he ends up, you know, in my opinion, still impressing, but playing in a different capacity than we've seen him. You know, the passing game wasn't there. I do give some of the credit the way that they've the scheme that Matt Patricia put in place, but you know, he still didn't turn the ball over. He still wasn't sacked. He found ways to use his legs when they gave it to him. And I think Mahomes showed us that, you know, he's the MVP for a reason. Now, obviously he can throw the ball over the place and he can do a lot of great things, but also just find a way to win on the road is a big deal in the NFL, and him being able to go out and do that in a really crazy environment, guys. I mean, I was on the sideline for both of those drives at the end when Kenny Golladay gets that touchdown from Stafford, and then Mahomes comes down and marches down, and it was a wild place to play a game. It was a third quarter that had five fumbles. I don't know if I've ever seen that before in my life. So, yeah, really, really crazy game in Detroit. But I think the biggest thing we take out of it is, yeah, Mahomes can win you games in a variety of ways, and also I think Detroit, everybody was questioning what type of team they were heading into that game, and I think they kind of showed everybody that maybe they're a little better than people think they were, because that's a game they probably could have won.
Well, especially with no Darius Slay, I mean, what a guy to lose going into a game with that aerial attack. But you're right, mm-hmm. We talk about Mahomes, different ways he can throw and he can, you know, put the ball in space. And it was his legs, the one play, right?
Yep.
It's fourth down. They needed one stop to win that game outright, and Mahomes ran for about 25.
Yeah, it was fourth and eight, you know, and earlier he used his legs. And they were doubling Kelce the same way that they doubled Zach Ertz the week before, which, remember, Doug Peterson comes from that world of Andy Reid. So it's a very similar system, and those are two of the top tight ends in football. And so they kind of had a similar scheme and how they were going to handle Kelce, and then they charted a bracket and cover some of these other, you know, receivers that they have that they've had a lot of success with early. And Pat was able to find a reason why he should be able to run the football. He ran for 54 yards. I mean, that's a pretty decent amount, a good chunk of yards, especially for a guy that's, you know, playing with an ankle that's been bothering him since week one. So you're right. He goes out and finds other ways to win. And I think that final drive, to me, really stands out because you have his run. Down by the 2-3 yard line, he hits Byron Pringle. Yeah, I said that right. He's like at the bottom of his receiving core. He'll throw the ball to anybody as long as they're open. He trusts everyone and just finds ways to will a team to win. And I think that's what we saw from Mahomes. So even though it wasn't everything that we thought it should be from Pat Mahomes inside, I think we did see that he still finds ways to win. And that's really all that matters. And now that's why they're one of the few teams left that are undefeated.
James Palmer of the NFL Network joining us here at Sportsnet 650, the program with Walker and Rintoul. As mentioned, the Bills, a tough, hard-fought loss against the Patriots. Do you look at them in a similar vein as the Lions, or do you just look at them the same way you were looking at the Bills coming into that game?
Well, I really love what Sean McDermott's done. I'm a huge fan of him, and what him and Brandon putting this together. I think the part where the two teams differ are where they stand at the quarterback spot, right? So I still do think there's a long ways. There's a lot of great things that Josh Allen does, but there's still, when you look at the tape, a lot of things that he has a long way to go to get to where he can be one of these guys that's going to win you games down the stretch as we talk about Mahomes. Matthew Stafford is in place. Now, obviously, he's on the back end of his career, but you saw him go out there in that game. Guys, I'll tell you, he barely got any reps during the week. He's battling a hip and back. You can kind of combine the two to where he was getting treatment, I'm told, between series on the sideline and still finding a way to go out there. And, you know, with 2 minutes to go, gives his team the lead. I think that's where the teams differ. I do think people want to go play for Sean McDermott. They've seen the culture that he's changed. And in this second year with Matt Patricia, what I've been told is it's a completely different vibe than the first season. And now there's guys that I think have playoff experience that wanted to come there. You look at Jesse James, the tight end who comes from the Steelers. He's used to going to the playoffs every year. Danny Amendola is used to having success, and obviously Matt knows him well from New England. And the type of players that are now coming in there have maybe changed the way Detroit is going about things in terms of the culture. Where the quarterback stands is where I think things differ on both teams. I think they're both headed in the right direction, but where they're at in the quarterback spot right now is where I do think they differ.
If you're a Rams fan, what is your biggest concern through four games?
I really think, everybody talks about it and doesn't talk about it. I just don't think Todd Gurley's the same player. I don't think you can use him in the same sense. I'll say multiple things. There's that. There's always this thought about 3 years into Wade Phillips running a defense, and I'm a huge Wade Phillips fan, that things start to really kind of change. I don't know why. He essentially does go out and just play the way he likes to play, and then he has these games in Super Bowls where he plays brilliantly. Even though they lost to the Patriots, I think Bill Belichick would be the first person to tell you that Wade Phillips' scheme in that Super Bowl was brilliant. But there are times where his defense around the third year he's with a new team, they start to fall off a little bit in terms of what they do back there. The Gurley part is the other aspect, and I do think you need to limit the Goff throws. I mean, I think teams are going to go out there going, if we're going to find a way to make Jared Goff throw the ball 45 times, I think we're going to have a really good chance to win this game. So combine that with that being the game plan of a lot of teams with the issues you might have with Todd Gurley, I think that kind of exposes a couple things with the Rams. I don't think they're in a huge ton of trouble, right? I still think they're one of the better teams in the NFC, but I think we have seen a couple of the cracks in the armor of Sean McVay's group.
James Palmer joins us from the NFL Network. There was a few years ago, I don't know if you remember this, if you're a big baseball fan, but up here when the Jays were making their playoff runs in 15 and 16, Josh Donaldson, during a losing streak, had a big quote. He kind of had the cameras around him. He said, you know, we have guys that aren't getting it done, and it's not the try hard league, it's the get it done league. And it was a bold statement, basically calling out certain teammates. And it's always a risky move. However, Adam Thielen kind of pulled that same card. He basically said, you know, at some point you got to throw the ball. And we all know, read between the lines, Kirk Cousins isn't doing that. So is it a dangerous move, ripping your teammates, or is Adam Thielen 100% correct?
Well, you know, these locker rooms, you spend more time with, you know, these guys inside those walls of the facility and the meetings and practice and everything more than you do with your family. So, yeah, it can be a little dangerous. At the same time, he knows how good of a receiver he is. He knows how good the receiver he plays alongside with might be one of the better duos in all of football. And you look at what your running back's doing at the same time, you're thinking we should be an offense that just almost shouldn't be stopped. And he is one of these guys, and he did today go back and kind of backtrack a little bit and say, you know, kind of try to clear the air essentially on what he was trying to put out there. But the way you take it, and the way I take it, it is all the same. And we look back at last year and you look at the struggles that they had with Kirk Cousins, and John DeFilippo gets, you know, fired and he's out of there. And then you look at what he goes and does with the Jaguars with Gardner Minshew right now and Minshew mania. Some point in time, you have to start looking at where the problem lies. And I think Adam Thielen is one of these guys that doesn't speak just to be heard. He's never really been that guy. He's a guy that we all know the path that's taken him to get to the NFL and the work he's put in. I don't think he just talks for lip service. So I do think what he said was probably noted. This usually is what happens. There's a conversation between coaches and players or players and players after comments like this are made, and then you try to move forward to it the best you can. But I think it was definitely noted in the building, and now we're going to see. I think Sunday is going to be a big telling point on did he make his point, or are we going to keep seeing the exact same thing? And then maybe that's when frustrations usually become a little bit more worrisome.
The NFL Network's James Palmer with us here after another big weekend in the NFL. It's the program with Walker and Rintoul, Sportsnet 650. If I tell you the three finalists for biggest win of the weekend are the Panthers, the Browns, and the Saints, who would you award that distinction to?
Ooh, man, I mean, I'm going to eliminate the Panthers out of it. I think it's really between the Browns and the Saints, and they're for two completely different reasons. I know you want me to pick one, but I just really think we all thought the Browns season was kind of on the brink in a little bit. You know, there's some testiness as we talk about it with Adam Thielen, with Baker Mayfield, and where they stand with all the talent they have. Are they going to start, you know, letting the Ravens, and especially being a divisional game, which to me makes maybe what the Browns did a little bit bigger, because it's in the division. Everybody, including myself, I did the Ravens game 2 weeks ago, and I thought to myself, okay, well, self, I think it's the Chiefs and the Patriots. and then there's a group below him, and I think it's headlined by the Ravens. So this is a big, this was a really big win to put them in the hunt in their division, because the Saints are in a little bit different spot, right? You didn't play a divisional game, but you also are trying to get out of this 6 weeks. If you can, their thought process is 3-3. That would be great until we get Drew Brees back. To go there and beat a team that's just really just playing tremendous football and play the way they played defensively specifically, I think that was huge for the Saints. But I do think, now that I talked myself into it, I'm going to say a little bit bigger for the Browns than it was for the Saints.
We had this debate last week in studio, and it's the sports culture and the way that fans work. They want to hand the keys to the young star right away. And we were talking about Dwayne Haskins, basically, after the Monday nighter. Well, they got their wish. Fans got their wish. Case Keenum wasn't very good on Sunday, and they give it to Haskins, and he was worse. You know, three picks, and yep. It's a really rough NFL debut. It's what are your thoughts on that? It's a fine line, right? And for every Russell Wilson that they hand the keys to and turns around the franchise, there's a guy that doesn't work. And we don't know which side of the ball Haskins is on, but I kind of say the latter.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny, because the more coaches I talk to, everybody has different philosophies, and this plays a big part into it, guys. Like, Gary Kubiak is definitely a coach that has an unbelievable track record in the NFL, and he is 100% about grooming players and letting, specifically quarterbacks, letting them sit and watch and learn.
Yeah.
But the problem that we're in nowadays is that the itchy trigger finger by owners to make a coaching change when things aren't going well and not letting things develop, coaches are more forced into getting to that young quarterback that they've been given sooner rather than later, because you don't want to be a part of what when things went wrong early in his career, and you don't get to be a part of when things start getting better for them. So it's a really difficult spot that head coaches are in when they're, you know, and Jay Gruden is definitely in one of them, where, you know, your job is on the line, you want to go to the kid, and you probably have to, because the ownership spent the high draft pick on him, and they want to see him play, even if you don't know if he's quite ready, because you have to, A, appease ownership, and B, worry about your job at the same time. I do think those two things oftentimes cloud or just overcome the judgment of a lot of head coaches of what they'd like to do with their quarterback. We talked about Patrick Mahomes at the beginning of this. Andy Reid and Pat have told me both separately that him sitting and watching Alex Smith for that season was tremendous for his career. Just unbelievable to go out and watch a guy that is a true professional. And honestly, I will say Alex is one of the best players at helping somebody below them at the quarterback spot and help groom them and help teach them while he's trying to do his thing at the same time. That year was huge for Mahomes. Some guys, it's more. Aaron Rodgers obviously sat longer, and other people get thrust into it right away. But I do think what I mentioned changes the judgment, even if coaches don't want to admit it, to when they have to put in a guy. And I think that's what we're seeing with Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, it's a great point. James Palmer joins us from the NFL Network. Hey, thanks for this, James. We'll do it again soon. Enjoy the Monday Nighter.
All right, guys. You too. Have a good one.